Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, a show all about the cities we live in. Following the news last week that the Olympic Stadium in Montreal is going to be transformed into a welcome centre to house all the asylum seekers coming to Quebec, our Canada Bureau Chief Thomas Lewis decided to tell us a story of one of the city's most famed structures.
Célébrant la 21e Olympiade de l'ère moderne, I declare open the Olympic Games of 1976, celebrating the 21st Olympiad of the modern era.
As city symbols go, I think Montreal's Olympic Stadium, which was built for the 1976 Summer Olympic Games in Montreal, really does symbolise much of what was happening in Montreal at the time, both in terms of its ascent, I suppose, as a global city, but also in many ways a slight kind of moment of being at the cusp of a possible decline too in the years and decades that followed.
Nellie Kim, USSR, gymnastics. Silvio Leonor, Cuba, athletics, the 100 meters. Tamás Kánchel, Hungary, modern pentathlon.
The building is an incredibly striking one, and it's one of the most recognizable modern buildings in Montreal. It was designed by the French architect Roger Talibert, and the initial designs had a retractable roof. Now, this was part of a plan back in the late 60s when the then mayor of Montreal, Jean Drapeau, who is a towering figure in Quebec politics, he was trying very hard to get a Major League Baseball team to come to Montreal.
Vila pops it up right side now. Church. In fair territory.
Now he succeeded, eventually. The Montreal Expos played there until they moved out of the stadium and of Montreal entirely in 2004 and were renamed the Nationals, Washington DC's city team, who are still in the Major League Baseball leagues. The design of the stadium is regarded as sitting in the sort of pantheon, if you like, of organic modern architecture. When you see the silhouette of the stadium from various angles, it looks like perhaps the stem of a flower stretching up into the sky, or perhaps the petals of a flower sort of, you know, sweeping out from the centre of the bud of the plant, if you like. It really is an incredibly distinctive and interesting building to look at, and really was an engineering marvel at the time. The 1976 Olympic Games were really a crowning moment, I think. The city had hosted the World Expo in 1967, which is widely regarded as one of the greatest World Expos in the history of that event. It really transformed Montreal, and of course there are celebrations and commemorations being held this year to mark the 50th anniversary of that event. By the time the Olympics came around, things were changing in Montreal. From the late 60s onwards, there was this quiet creep, if you like, of the major banks setting up headquarters in Toronto. And of course, there were rumblings in some quarters between Quebec's francophone populations and its anglophone populations. And of course, those tensions, if you like, or the political dynamic there, really came to a head in the early 1990s with the referendum that was only won by the pro-Remain, if you like, campaign by, I think, about half a percentage point.
Ça sera ça, la question. Et y aura oui ou non.
Now, when you look at the expense of the Olympics on Montreal, it was only a few years ago that the city finally paid off its bill. And the stadium itself was one of the biggest financial burdens on the whole thing. Now, when you look at the construction at the time, it was late. There were huge problems with the construction. The construction companies that had been hired to build this thing. By the time the opening ceremony rolled around in 1976, the retractable roof roof hadn't been fitted, which was of course the star draw of the whole thing, and the famous tower hadn't been completed either. So when you look at photographs of Montreal in 1976 ahead of the Olympics, you'll see this kind of stub really where the famous, you know, silhouette of the tower is now. And that was only completed more than a decade later, with lots of wranglings between the architect and City Hall, the complaints of costs of bringing in the materials from France, for example. So it really was kind of a mess. And I think when a lot of Montrealers think of the stadium, there is a sense that it became a bit of a white elephant, really, for the city, given how much it cost, given how much the prices soared to build this thing, despite it becoming one of the most striking buildings in the city as a whole.
Today, it also became a temporary shelter. A busload of asylum seekers arrived this morning, people lugging bags, adults and children. This man says he's...
I think it's really quite extraordinary that the stadium is being opened up now to house those asylum seekers who are fleeing from the United States. There have been around 3,000, the authorities in Canada say, between the start of this year and June, who have come into Quebec directly from the United States, the majority of whom this month are asylum seekers from Haiti. I think it does speak quite a lot to a mood in Canada more broadly that has welcomed so many people over the past year and a half from very dire situations from various corners of the world. And now that this city emblem, if you like, for Montreal is being opened up to play a very real and important part within that, I think is really quite remarkable in a way that this building, although it's a famous silhouette that so many Montrealers and people around the world recognise, is once again a living building. It's a building that is serving a purpose, and of course that purpose was intended as a gathering place for the world's great athletes, then later for Montreal's own baseball team, and after that, you know, concerts and various events. But I think the fact that it will be a place that so many people can call home, then I think that really does add quite a new and quite a different and a fairly unique chapter into the recent story of Montreal's Olympic Stadium.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And thanks to Thomas Lewis for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.